everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of A&K on the Runway. This episode got started pretty quickly. They didn't really waste a whole lot of time getting into what this episode was going to be all about.
Mm-hmm. We really kick right in because there's a lot to happen and a lot to get to as far as the challenge concerns. So Heidi says that they're going to have a Project Runway first, which is pop-up color shops inspired by Mary Kay color palettes. So the designers have to create, well, first of all, important, they're in three teams of three.
Mm-hmm.
And so the teams have to create a cohesive fall collection based upon their assigned color palette. They have $600 and one day, and then they'll be showing the looks to the public in Soho, and then the public gets to vote on their favorites, and whoever wins gets a 20% boost in their judging scores.
Right. So the teams are picked at random.
No, it wasn't random. This is a producer plant a mile away. I'm very upset about it.
Forgive the tinfoil hats coming from my partner here.
This whole episode was a producer setup.
In conspiracy theory land, the teams are randomly selected from the button bag.
Air quotes.
I didn't do air quotes. And
I did.
And so the first team is given the red violet color palette, and we see Aaron, Dexter, and Cornelius put
so
on this team.
So obvious the producer plantain here. So annoying. You know what I think happens?
What's that, babe?
I am convinced that it's scripted in a way like Tim pulls those buttons out of the bags, and it could say, like, I bet that first button said Mahjong, and he's like, Aaron. And the next one probably said, you know, Robbery, and he's like, oh, Dexter. Like, they had that set up, how they, you know, how they wanted it to be. It happens every season on a team challenge. People that don't get along are somehow on the same team, or they're on teams with best friends, just like this one. So they had this one ready to go. But I digress for now. I'll tell you who is on Team Nude Neutral.
Please do. Wait, nude?
Nude Neutral.
I thought it was New Neutral.
No.
Whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
It's Jenny, Natalia, and Mahjong. So both teams so far are pretty much stuck in junior high.
So this leaves Laurence, Rick, and Robbery on a team, and they are given the color palette of hues of blue. So, just first reaction, what are your thoughts on the teams?
My initial thoughts are the blue team are definitely the adults in the room, and that everyone else is going to have a little bit of mean girl syndrome, some junior high lunch table drama. And so I think the blue team, initially, before we've even seen any sketching, designing, any ideas, I think blue team's going to win, nude's going to come in second, and red's going to be on the bottom because you got Cornelius, Dexter, and Aaron in there, and they're not going to be able to handle it.
I have the exact same rankings. Hues of Blue has three of the top four designers in my power rankings,
right,
from last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that Aaron and Dexter and Cornelius are going to have a very difficult time working together.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a whole lot of, and this kind of was presented on the previews from last week.
Right.
It's going to be a whole lot of Aaron and Dexter driving things while Cornelius sits by and doesn't really have his voice heard.
And then he goes off and complains instead of talking with his team members. The thing as well is that, especially in the last couple of weeks, with Aaron and Dexter having some pretty questionable looks, they have seemingly been on a pretty steep downhill trajectory. So just the taste level alone, and the two of them thinking like, oh my God, that's so insane. That's great. It's just a kind of a recipe for disaster. These are all initial thoughts. This has not come to fruition quite yet.
Right.
So we kind of get into the sketching and get into the ideas that are being thrown around by each of the teams. Cornelius is not talking at all as Aaron and Dexter are kind of sketching and talking out what their ideas are. And their initial idea is a take on punk. Is that right?
Yeah, they said something like that. Mm-hmm. Rock and roll meets military was also mentioned.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of like concepts being thrown around. Like there's just a lot of words.
Right.
So far. And then I wrote down that Majin doesn't really know himself because he's talking about what each person brings to the table. And he said, Jenny brings the street style. I bring the sexiness. And Natalia, I don't know what she brings. And I was like, oh, Majin, I don't automatically connect like sexy clothes to him.
No,
so
not really. I mean,
I don't think
there are certain designers like Edmund from last season.
Yeah.
Like, definitely brought the sexiness with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I would not say that Majin is that the same level as that.
No, I would agree. So we just...
I mean, I think that's what he tries to go for. I have not seen him succeed.
Pan out, right.
Sure.
So as we're going shopping at Mood, it seems like Majing's not being heard on Team Noon Neutrals.
And we are getting pretty much the same thing with Cornelius over on Red Violet.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are trying to pick out all of these fabrics, and Cornelius speaks up and says, there's a whole lot of red here. There's way too much red. We need something to break this up.
They definitely didn't take advantage of the violet in their team name. Like,
right.
All of their fabrics were red and a red plaid or just different hues of red. There was nothing else.
And we're talking red.
Yeah.
These are bright, like lipstick red,
mm-hmm.
reds. So there's a whole lot of not just blending, but it'd be very easy to go over the top and costumey with some of these colors.
Right. And so Dexter and Aaron are just, they love everything about kind of what they're designing. They're not, as Tim says, you know, taking a critical eye to it. And Cornelius just hates it. And he's speaking up a little bit, it seems like, as we're getting into the workroom. And they say, again, it's the rock and roll meets military, which, again, they seem like just opposite concepts. I can't remember if it was Dexter who's previously said, no, it was Brick that said it's vintage, but
futuristic. Right.
So, and then we kind of see a little bit of the drama on Nude Neutrals because Natalia, like, just completely straight up acknowledges that she's leaving Majin out. She'll pull Jenny to another room and be like, I had this idea. I think we should do this.
Yeah.
And Majin kind of, he knows what's up, but he's like, I don't know what, you know, they want me to do.
Yeah.
So,
and Jenny kind of acknowledges it and was just like, should we tell Majin just so it doesn't look like we're doing this in secret? Kind of like as a way of being like, yep, we're definitely doing this in secret.
It's definitely reminiscent of like anyone that's been to high school or early college. It's these type of vibes. You know, you get in a group project with your friend and then you're just assigned somebody else and you don't worry about what they think or what they want to do. You just tell them what they're going
to
do.
Right. So there doesn't seem to be too much of a team dynamic on Nude Neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can really say the same for Red Violet. Aaron and Dexter seem to be way too buddy-buddy at this point.
Yeah, it's
they
weird.
Are shown multiple times, kind of like they did on the previous challenge where they were like, oh, we've gotten so much done.
Right.
Let's just go over here now while everybody is working super hard. So they kind of do the same thing where it seems to be like they're wasting a whole lot of time. And Cornelius seems like he's working his ass off.
Right. He does seem to be busting his butt through the workroom. And we're speeding through this episode. This episode went by very quickly because they have to show the pop-up shop and the runway.
Right.
So we don't get a ton of workroom time, but what we get is mostly focusing on the red team and Cornelius definitely begrudgingly doing like little things here and there.
Right.
And Aaron and Dexter are seemingly in the break room a lot. I don't know. It could be editing, but
right.
You know.
So this entire time led me to wonder, are Hughes and Blue even doing anything?
I know. We get
They literally didn't even show them.
No, very little
for
check-in.
A solid 15, 20 minutes
right.
of the show.
We might got a glimpse of someone's face as they looked over when Dexter, Aaron were like giggling to themselves or something. But yeah, there's not too much until we get to the Tim Gunn critiques on the day of the pop-up shop. So for me, the timeline's a little fuzzy.
It was very, very odd.
Like, I assume that they went shopping and sketching in, like, a morning, but they had a lot done.
And they're right, because there was a point where Team Nude Neutral, even before the Tim Gunn critiques, had all three of their
right.
looks, like,
out
up on
mannequins, yeah.
And they were looking at them, and they looked done. And I was like, that can't be a great sign if they're done already.
Right. So I wonder if there was like the full day like they normally get. And this was like the coming back. They just didn't have time to show it. It didn't matter showing them like leaving and going back to their apartments.
Right.
So then, you know, day out, we get to the critiques. Tim starts with the Hughes of Blue. And he says there's some strong pieces, but also some underwhelming pieces. And so Rick was creating a dress. And Robbery was creating a skirt. And he said both of those elements of the collection were really lacking in design. They're just too simplistic. So he told them to kind of go back, look at these pieces, and see if more can be done. You know, not over-designing, but just more than a basic mini skirt with an A-line silhouette.
Right. And a dominant theme throughout all three teams' looks is jackets. I think every single team had two jackets, and it got to the point where I was like, is it just going to be exclusively jackets? Like, is that what? And there seems to be a lot of jackets in general in this season.
Yeah, it is a fall collection, so I get that.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, people are doing separates, which is kind of a lot to do in one day. Yeah, but it does seem very jacket heavy. We have not seen a lot of cocktail dresses or gowns or anything this season. So,
next, they moved on to Team Red Violet. And they, too, are pretty much done at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think there needs to be some minor changes. But for the most part, it seemed like they were completely done. And Tim really did like everything they had put together. He said there were a lot of very fresh designs throughout all three looks. And one of those designs was by Cornelius. He made, a jacket and skirt combination in this plaid, material, but in some areas on both the jacket and the skirt, he kind of cut the plaid and rearranged it just so it's not just a, you know, flat plaid. The lines and the patterns kind of intersected and changed throughout the outfit just to kind of give it a little more flair. And Tim's seeing all three of these looks and he's like, maybe some of these things should be switched around,
mm-hmm.
to which Cornelius was thinking, yes, I agree. I think we should move my skirt over to Aaron's coat. And Tim Gunn agreed. And so now Cornelius is left without a bottom to his outfit.
Yeah, it's kind of all three of them said that they were hesitant to play with patterns because Aaron's coat was also not your typical plaid, but it was also a textured fabric.
Right.
And I think that Tim's positive critique was almost to this team's detriment.
Sure.
Because Aaron and Dexter are like, oh my God, we're so amazing. Like, we can just hang out now. Not really thinking like, oh, we still need a bottom for one of these looks.
Right.
And it kind of just got transferred over to Cornelius, even though he had already made a skirt to match the jacket he initially made. So it was kind of a bizarre critique because, well, yes, they did have some really good pieces. They still had more things to work on and finish. So it just seemed like Aaron and Dexter took that as the opportunity to continue coasting through until the end.
Yeah.
Lastly was Team Nude Neutral's critique. And they had been feeling kind of down on themselves prior to the critique and just didn't feel like they were meshing well. And Tim picked up on that. He said that the whole of the looks were not chic or cool. It was so blah and basic that they compromised themselves to create this look. And it really was. I mean, I know that they had nude neutrals, but they had kind of brought in like a tannish orange look. And I think that made it worse than if they had done like a blush or,
right,
you know, another sort of like pale accent color. And I'm not immediately recalling some of their initial looks, but they were just so bland. So they kind of reworked, they mixed some pieces together and started not afresh, like they didn't have that much time, but kind of started creating a couple new things.
Right. I think Ma Jing made a dress and Natalia made a coat, and they had them combine those two looks into one.
Right.
So I think they had to make a completely new look. But with the color palette that they got, it was probably very easy to get into very basic looks, which I feel like was the challenge for them. Like, that should have been their challenge, was how do you make this interesting with such muted colors?
Mm-hmm.
I will give them credit. They seemed very focused after the critique. It seemed like they got together a sketch and a look very, very quickly.
Yeah, I think they kind of agreed upon where they were going, and then they just started executing, and it kind of bounced back very quickly. So that seemed to work out. Hues of Blue had a little bit of work to do. So after the critique, there were 6 hours to go before the pop-up shop. So a good chunk of time, but not a ton. Hues of Blue decided to kind of take their designs to the next level on some of those basic pieces. And there's a bit of a disagreement between Robbery and Rick and Laurence, because apparently Robbery doesn't like sexy at all. He doesn't think that should always be the answer to a design conundrum. And that does not seem to compute with some of his past looks for me, I guess.
I mean, some of those looks, though, I think he was going for artistic over sexy. And
yeah,
if it ended up sexy, then, you know, it's kind of a win-win situation. Like, you think of that, the very first look that he made was a super, super short dress.
Mm-hmm.
But it had all of that motion with the paper lanterns.
Right.
Same thing with the swimsuit that he ended up making. There was a lot of cutouts and like around the torso area on the mm-hmm. side. So it showed a lot of skin for a one-piece swimsuit. But with the design pattern that he made with the feathers, it was more art than it was sexy.
Mm-hmm. So as we're getting ready, kind of going into hair and makeup for the pop-up shop, we're seeing what our initial thoughts were on all of these teams kind of come to fruition, because Cornelius is freaking out about his team members and just losing it in the workroom, essentially. Key is the only one kind of making the skirt. They decided on a pleated skirt, and he seems to be the only one interested in helping make it. But here's where this is what separates like the adults in this competition from the not quite adults. Like, there needs to be, it doesn't have to be a full drag out confrontation. There just needs to be some adult communication happening. And that did not happen at all on this team. And so all that resentment is just boiling up in Cornelius, and he's just losing it.
Right. He, up until this week, there was a noticeable change in Cornelius, and I think it came in that last team challenge when that team was on the chopping block, and every single person on that team, minus Rick, who had the misfortune of going first, of course, was just like, this is on me. You know, I had a terrible look. I think I should go home. Mm-hmm. And I think that gave some humility to Cornelius, and you could really see that throughout the following weeks.
Right.
And this week, old Cornelius came back, but I think rightfully so. I am over Aaron and Dexter. I was over that from last week, and it got even more annoying this week.
I don't disagree with you, but I am more annoyed with the producer setup on this. Like, I was just furious this entire episode because you could see how obvious this is from a mile away. And that is what is so annoying to me. Like, just let the designers design. Don't manufacture this drama. It's already a good show without that. Like, people are creating these masterpieces sometimes, like, in these weird conditions. And that's the show. That's the drama. Like, can they come through? We don't need this like petty back and forth between man and woman children on this show. And like, that's what most upset me. Yes, Cornelius had every right to have beef, but grow up and communicate with people. And I get it. It's hard when you're early in your early 20s. No one really knows quite how to do that yet. But if you pretend that this is like a workplace professional environment, he's going to have to learn how to do that sometime. Complaining behind their back while they're all like just twittering away with each other eating Oreos, he needs to grow a pair and be like, this isn't going to make itself. We're supposed to be a team. Like, let's do this.
And I get that. But at the same time, I think it would be difficult to do within the constraints of the team dynamic that they had. If it was the larger team, it's a lot easier to go, hey, I don't think my voice is being heard here. I have some ideas about this. How about this? There were three people on this team, and two of them were just like, oh my God, that idea you had is so great. Oh my God, that idea you had, what you had was so great. And then Cornelius is just sitting on the side like, I don't think it's that great, guys. How about this? Like, we saw it even before this point in the episode that Aaron and Dexter were going to do whatever they wanted to do.
Right.
And Cornelius was just going to kind of have to tag along.
And I agree. Again, it just brings me back to, like, the producers did this. They freaking set this up.
So we move on to the actual voting part of this. And like we said, a pop-up shop was set up in Soho. They had cameras there. They also had the designers sitting somewhere else watching these people come up and vote. There's not a whole lot here to talk about.
The one thing I wanted to note, though, is with the hair and makeup choices, and I kind of blame Sally Beauty and Mary Kay on, like, so literal. Like, there was color spray,
right,
that they could put in their hair, and believe me, they did.
Right.
Like, Dexter and Aaron cannot edit themselves. No. So they did, like, just
some really dumb stuff.
Some full red ponytail for one of their models.
That wasn't the worst one, though. That was not bad, I don't think.
No.
The worst one was a girl had, like, shoulder length blonde hair.
Yeah.
And then like midway through, there's just like a red stripe on the sides.
So that way I was like, why are we being so literal with the colors?
Like, I think everybody else did a pretty decent job of it.
Like I said, they don't have much restraint.
Other than them.
But it was also a little odd to watch the models just stand there and then every couple seconds, like,
what are they supposed to do?
Yeah, I was like, that would be a bizarre thing to be one of those models. You're like, well, it's been 30 seconds. I guess I should turn around now.
Yeah. So the result of the public vote, I think, somewhat shockingly, is nude neutral. Unfortunately, it had maybe has something to do with the color palette.
Maybe.
But nothing really jumped out in their looks.
No, that's what surprised me too. And I don't know. It appeared to be summer when this was filmed in New York. And I don't know if that had a role. I'm just not sure. But granted, the blue and the red teams may have been come across as kind of severe next to those neutrals. And that could have been part of it. I'm not sure.
And Dexter does make a good point. It was something I was thinking as the judging was going on, that blue and neutral is a lot easier to work with than the red, which I agree. I think most people aren't going to want to wear something that really, really stands out. Most people just kind of want to blend in.
Right.
And it's much easier to do that with definitely the neutrals, but also with the blue. But at the same time, you picked the fabrics that you're working with. So something was over the top, it's your fault on that.
Mm-hmm.
So we move to the runway show.
At the start of the runway show, Heidi announced, you know, Team Neutral won. And then she said each member got $500, which was, I had not heard up to that point that that would be the prize for the winning team for the public.
But it was $500 worth of like Mary Kay products.
Okay. So it wasn't just like a $500 check.
No. Which, congratulations, Majin.
I know. He did take it well. He's like, oh, I'll use this for my hair.
Right. Team Red Violet is the first team down the runway, and we see Cornelius's look first. And like we said, they kept that plaid jacket and then just kind of threw a pretty plain red pleated skirt with it. I thought the jacket especially pulled off the punk look that they were going for. And the two things combined, the jacket and the skirt, definitely did that. Except it's kind of like what guys wear, like punk guys wear.
I did not get punk at all out of this look.
I think it was just the cut of the jacket and the chunky boots. There's too much red plaid.
There's too much red plaid. There's too much red in general.
Right.
So the problem with this look and all the looks on the red team in general is they chose to style overkill. They, like we said, they have the red element in the hair with the color spray. The first model has a red fringe bag, which I know that freaking Dexter picked that out. They put chunky booties on all of them with red, almost like red athletic socks. And it is just so much. And to me, this jacket doesn't really read punk. It seems more Clueless to me. Like Cher Horowitz in Clueless. Or a lot of times plaid, like a plaid jacket like this, reads kind of Jackie O to me in a way as well. Because it read very Chanel when he had the plaid skirt with it. So I thought that was a good choice because it would have just been like a 90s throwback to Clueless, just not in yellow.
Right.
The jacket hits right at it, probably right at her belly button.
Midriff, yeah.
Yeah. It would have been a crop top jacket, quite honestly, if the pleated skirt wasn't so high waisted And the pleated skirt doesn't fit that great. It, for some reason, it's the length of the front is not the same length as the rest of the skirt. And the pleats just aren't that cleanly done. You can tell, it, you know, it was something that there wasn't a ton of time to finish it. That jacket is very well made and it looks polished.
I would agree.
It's, yeah, it is just a lot of red.
Yeah, the two colors blended just a little too much.
I think, and also the shades were a little odd.
Yeah.
So the jacket was collarless, but it along the zipper tab, they had, it looks like it could be just a tab of red leather going down that front. And so the jacket is more of maybe a fire engine red, and the skirt is more of a muted, maybe like fall leaves like a color.
Flat red.
So to me, those shades don't go super great together. And they could have pulled in black or white or even the violet or something and tried to really go across that palette a little bit more.
Yeah. Next is Dexter's long jacket. And, I mean, I thought this looked good. I thought it was pretty well made. The sleeves are these big open sleeves. Mm-hmm. And normally on something like that, I don't think I would like it very much, but I thought it looked pretty good here. Doesn't seem to be a whole lot going on with the jacket other than that. There are some studs up by the shoulders, but that's about it.
And it's kind of more of a long vest than a true jacket. He called it something that I didn't recognize the name of it. I assume that's supposed to be more of like a punk piece sort of thing. This seems to be the same fabric that Cornelius used for that pleated skirt, kind of that muted red tone.
Mm-hmm.
And he left the model bare up top. I mean, the vest covered her, but there was no shirt underneath. And then made just a very simple like mini skirt length to go underneath that, but again, it was still red. So again, we're just getting a lot of red in the same, this is all in the same hue. It doesn't, I mean, it looks well made, but it doesn't scream like unique, I guess,
right,
outside of that long line vest look.
Sure. And finally, we have Aaron's look. The focus of Aaron's look is this long coat that she made. And like we said earlier, it's kind of a different fabric. It's not really plaid. It's red with black and it's just some kind of design on it. I don't want to say checked or like houndstooth, but
maybe a mix of those two.
Sure.
Perhaps.
It's some kind of design to where it's not just red.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a great fabric to use. The coat looks really, really well made. She did put these really kind of weird pockets on the side of them that it kind of looks like it's the model's carrying like a clutch almost,
mm-hmm,
but they're attached to the coat, but not completely. Like they flap out. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially like she has two purses like attached to the side of her.
This is so terrible of me to say, but you know what they reminded me of? Colostomy bags.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it's just that shape of it on each side and the red, I don't know, it was very bizarre.
Yeah. And like we said, they took Cornelius's skirt from his jacket and put it with Aaron's look. I think that was probably a good choice just because mm-hmm, it kind of breaks things up a little bit.
Yeah, they used a kind of a turtleneck crop top for the top, and it's a different shade of red. And I think it's a pretty similar shade. It looks like those pockets that are on the outside. So I get what she was going for, but it looks too mismatched with all those different shades going on.
Yeah.
And luckily the coat pulls in a little bit of the violet. Like it has a touch of a red violet to it. And so it's not just this violently red. But with those socks and the booties, it just, it is a lot, but that coat is really well made, and the pattern mixing does seem to work out okay.
Yeah.
The next team to show on the runway is the Nude Neutrals. And we start out with a look from Natalia. And they are beige leggings with a crop top and a bomber jacket. This was not my favorite look. So it screams like Charles Dickens character to me a little bit. The jacket has kind of these tan panels in the front, like a dark tan. And then the sleeves are more of a light tan,
mm-hmm.
like a sand color. And then the cuff is that tan, the darker tan again. And so it just, I don't know, the design is weird to me.
This looks like a Letterman's jacket.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it.
That's what, like, right when I saw it, I was just like, why is she wearing a Letterman's jacket?
And then the...
She doesn't have her varsity basketball patch on there anywhere.
And the top underneath has one of those ribbed collars. Like,
yeah.
For some reason, Jenny and Natalia love these ribbed collars. And it's just a white top. And then, I mean, the leggings fit her okay. And they did a...
They just kind of, like, ripped out the knees.
Ripped
deconstructed a little bit.
But I think the leggings are too high.
I didn't think there was anything that spectacular about this look.
Yeah.
I mean, the jacket looks well made for a Letterman's jacket. I mean, it looks good. But leggings are leggings to me. Like, that couldn't have been that difficult to make, right?
No,
at this point, like...
It's the proportions are off and the coloring of the neutrals are off to me.
Yeah.
The next look came from Jenny, and it's wide leg pants and a sweater. This was something that they kind of recreated after the critique. So Jenny had made these probably like a cream colored wide leg pant, which they seemed really well made. Not many people could pull those off, but I thought they were cool. Then the sweater was that same dark tan color that Natalia had used in the bomber jacket.
Right.
And then Jenny did this like popcorn effect on the shoulders.
She bit off of Aaron's style again and just put some embroidery on it.
Yeah, that is true. And so it kind of, I mean, it looked cool. I did like that sweater a lot.
Yeah, the sweater looks all right. I thought the pants were too baggy. I mean,
too
we're
much.
Talking like, these are like JNCO mammoth wide leg pants.
JNCO?
You were in middle school at the time. No, you were probably in elementary school at the time. JNCOs were these gigantic jeans that were cool in like 1997, 98.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I guess I didn't know they were
and
cool.
And the...
I was not in elementary school in
1997. The width of the leg had different names, and mammoth was the only one I could remember, and that was the largest size. It's practically a dress. Like, you can't tell they're pants.
No, you don't.
If you got told they were pants, then you would know. But this is practically a dress, which at that point, why not just make it a dress?
Yeah, or like a maxi skirt or something. Although maxi skirt isn't really a fall look. I guess I could see, it's like she wrapped like a sheet around like her waist and just went with that. Like, that's how baggy that is. But yeah, I see what you mean.
But the embroidery adds a little bit to that sweater, but not a ton.
Yeah. Again, like, the neutrals work in this instance for me a little bit better than the previous. I guess I don't recall exactly what the colors in their palette were. But instead of going with that dark tan that I initially thought was kind of orangey, but it's really not, like, why not go towards a blush or some pinks?
Exactly. Like a peach, something.
Yeah. Like, I know it's supposed to be fall,
some
but
kind
you don't
of
have
color.
You don't have to go totally brown.
Right.
The last look from this team, was Majin's dress and Natalia's coat that they combined after the critiques. So the dress, again, all of Majin's dresses do not fit around the waist. There is something about, he just can't tailor. I think that's what it is. He just cannot tailor clothes. So he created a long sleeve, below the knee, high neck dress in a tan color.
Yeah, we're sand. We're really like bordering on burlap sack here.
A little bit, because it has that textural look to it as well. He did at least put a blue around the collar, and then that darker tan, and then trimmed in the blue as a belt around the waist. And then Natalia's coat, this looks like a suede to me.
Yeah.
I think it's like a very dark tan suede. It's a long coat, down to her ankles, has some slits at the side. I mean, it's a nice coat. I think you could probably buy that anywhere, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about them together as well. I know that was kind of a result from the critique sort of thing, but
yeah,
nothing about it blew me away.
Everything about this looks well made, but that's about all you can say about it.
Yeah.
The color combination is very Jesus. Like,
yeah,
it's very, I thought, very Jesus.
I thought Pocahontas.
Pocahontas too. Could also work here.
Yeah, because that blue with her necklace.
Right. But yeah, there's just not much to say about any of these looks, honestly.
That's what made me so surprised that the public picked it. And now, going back to my conspiracy theory, I don't think they did. I really don't think they actually won.
Oh, jeez.
Again, I think this is all, the producers had a heavy hand in this episode.
Okay. Hues of Blue comes up next, and Robbery's look is first. Robbery made a blue sweater, and he kind of added some geometric shapes on the sweater in a different shade of blue. It's just kind of like some rectangles, essentially.
Yeah.
Just kind of offset a little bit in the middle. And with that, he made a black leather dress. A black leather skirt with a blue plaid addition to it. It's kind of, I don't know how you would describe that.
It's definitely mixed media. So one side, literally the, is that a right side?
That would be your right side.
Literally her right side is swathed in black leather. And the left side has, it's like she tied her boyfriend's blue plaid shirt around her waist. Yep. And it's covering up the leather
skirt.
It's
a very 90s grunge look.
Yes, that's exactly what I wrote down.
Grunge look. It looks like it's a blue flannel tied around her waist.
Yeah. I hate that skirt.
Hate it.
I didn't like it that much either. It just, once I saw that, I couldn't get over what that looked like.
And to me, that sweater wouldn't ever mix with that skirt.
Yeah, I liked the sweater. I thought it looked really good. I think anybody would want to wear that.
Yeah, initially for me, and he put a white t-shirt, just a very basic white t-shirt to kind of break up the look underneath. And I didn't love that initially, but I understand why they did it.
Right.
Sort of thing. So yeah, the sweater was cute, but I couldn't get past that.
Yeah.
Plaid.
Next is Rick. Rick made a plaid jacket along with just a pretty simple slip dress. White on top. There is what might be like blue leather around the waist.
Mm-hmm.
And then some material of blue on the bottom.
Yeah.
The focus of this, though, is the jacket. I thought this looks great. It's not really high fashion, I don't think, but it looks very, very well made. The only thing I don't like about it is that it has, the lapels of the jacket are, well, the jacket itself is blue plaid. Mm-hmm. It's the same blue plaid that Robery used. And the lapels of the jacket are more just like a flat blue, maybe denim, but probably not. And then it goes all the way up and kind of makes a cape on the back. And I thought that was just really weird.
I didn't understand the cape on the back. It kind of looked like one of those safety vests that, if you're walking to school, your traffic person,
the crossing guard will wear,
except it's blue.
Yeah.
So that just seemed like a weird addition. In the dress, at first I didn't like it, but once I saw more of the detail after she took off the jacket, it is very simple. Like, I think this is something you could probably get at Old Navy, to be honest, but it went well with the jacket and
I thought the combination was a good choice.
Yeah. But the jacket, looked really nice. I would wear a jacket like that. I'm not really one for plaid, but I would wear it.
Right. So finally, we get to Laurence's look. Laurence, surprise, surprise, does make a jacket. It's a tuxedo-inspired jacket all the way down to the tails on the back.
Mm-hmm.
She used a pattern that seems a little similar to what Aaron used, but just in blue and black. The jacket, of course, is perfectly made. It looks really, really good. It has black trim around the neck and down the middle of it where it opens up, and around the cuffs as well. This is just a really, really well-made jacket. And then she paired them with just a simple white t-shirt and just kind of a blue pair of almost like just slacks.
Yeah, they're just wide leg pants.
And those look really good too.
Yeah, and she used different detailing on the pants so that she had kind of some paneling. So it was like a blue silk on the outside of the leg. The t-shirt was almost too casual. Like, she should have tucked it in all the way, because it kind of was too contrasting with the jacket a little bit for me. But otherwise, like, the jacket's really cool. The pants fit her really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very cool look.
That was incredible. You are overflowing with talent, and I admire you.
So, and once, before Heidi announces who the top and bottom will be, she says there's going to be two teams that will remain on the runway. There'll be a top and a bottom. But she said they're very impressed overall with this runway show, which is something that hasn't been said a lot this season. So what are your initial guesses after seeing this before we get the actual results?
Honestly, I was at a real loss.
Yeah.
I figured that there was no way, unless they completely bombed in their designs, which we know they didn't because we saw them, there was no way that nude neutrals was going to lose.
Right. Since they had the 20%.
Since they already had the 20%. Right.
Yeah.
And so I said that Red Violet was going to win, with Aaron winning overall. And by default, that makes how hues of blue the losers, and then just based it off of the looks that they put together, Robery was going home.
I have the exact same thing. I just thought that the red team had really gone for it, and maybe the judges would appreciate that. I just didn't see enough out of the neutral team to seem that they'd want to either talk to them either way.
Right.
But blue did a good job. I thought maybe the looks were like too casually mixed. I didn't know.
Sure.
It was such a different collection.
Yeah, I kind of agreed. I didn't think that there was anything that really, really stood out on hues of blue.
Right.
However, the actual results were completely flipped, which right. I was happy for.
Yeah.
Hues of blue does win, and red violet loses.
Not to go back to my conspiracy theory, but this is a perfect setup for what we've been set up for this entire episode, because it gives a chance for all the mean girlness to come out on the runway.
Right. So in the critiques, the judges say that they're not really seeing the punk inspiration in Red Violet's looks.
And Kelly Osbourne is the guest judge, by the way. We didn't mention that. She's a very vocal guest judge.
Right. And for maybe the first time this season, somebody that has somewhat of an idea about what they're talking about in terms of the fashion. And
she has a fashion background.
And it maybe was by coincidence or luck that somebody tried for a punk inspiration. And you're not really going to get that by Kelly Osbourne unless you do it well.
And she also loves calling out mean girls. So this is like just a perfect challenge for her to come back on.
Right.
Again, set up.
But the judges say there is just too much red here. They loved the ideas. There's just way too much red.
Mm-hmm.
And they do kind of point out some very minor construction problems. And really, it's just with that pleated skirt that had to be put together at the very, very end. There were some sewing problems with that, they said.
And no one on the panel likes Dexter's vest dress. It just doesn't wow anyone. And it didn't come across like his execution didn't meet the concept. But they do love Aaron's jacket a lot. There's a lot of praise for that. And Heidi, and she has this every time in a team challenge. So if you're on the top or the bottom, you're going to get asked who's going to go home or who should win. So just how they happen to be standing, Dexter gets asked first and he says Cornelius, because it was really hard for them to get him out of his normal space. He was difficult to work with and he just wasn't on board with the team concept.
Right. Cornelius is asked next and he then votes for Dexter, based off of the fact that his coat didn't really come through how he was planning it to.
Right. Unsurprisingly. And then Cornelius kind of goes on a tirade. Well, next you're going to ask Aaron. Of course she's going to say me because they're best friends. And it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Even just watching it.
Yeah.
Because Aaron does say Cornelius.
Yeah, he wasn't wrong.
Right.
And he goes out swinging, which I fully support him in this episode.
He did what he needed to do. Because at first she's like, I'm not saying anymore. And then Zach's like, well, you're going to go home. Like, your look happened to be the weakest because you swapped out that skirt to give to Aaron. So a lot of times, and I guess since there was three looks and three designers, that's what it, you know, each person has a look. A lot of times, like we saw earlier this season, there was six people and four looks, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's collaboration there, but they weren't really having that in this challenge.
Right.
And so Cornelia says, you know, Erin conceptualized that pleated skirt. She's the one that said, let's go with pleats. But they left me to do all the work and I busted my ass and I worked hard and I did little edits on their designs too. And then they just went off and had fun.
Yeah.
And the judges kind of react to that. They notice they didn't all work well together and stuff. But there's not a huge amount of dialogue from the judges.
Yeah. They then move on to Hues of Blue. And Heidi starts off and she just loves everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's just like, I love that skirt. I love the little dress. I love that jacket. I mean, she just basically goes through the entire collection saying mm-hmm. she loves everything. But the main point that I think came from this critique and something that set them apart from Red Violet was their use of white to break up their looks.
Right.
And as the show went on, that was something that I was thinking too. It's just like, Hues of Blue did a great job just putting it simple white to make sure it's not just blue head to toe. Red Violet could have done that. They could have
right.
used black. They could have used white. They could have used anything just to make it not head to toe red, which just screams gaudy at you.
And there's a maturity that is present in Hues of Blue's collection.
Right.
Because if you think of kind of like that inverse pyramid of knowledge, as you go through like just the school system in general and you kind of age and gain wisdom, you don't take things just literally. You process them and you realize that, you know, that life is a spectrum. Things aren't just black and white. That was very much present in that collection. And that's what the judges responded so positively to, was that, you know, they didn't put a blue undershirt with the jackets, or they didn't have an all blue dress or an all blue skirt. They really thought about how this looks and comes across, instead of being like, you told me I want to use red. Okay, I'm going to put it in her hair and the socks and the purse, and everything's red. You told me to do that. Like, why don't you respond to this?
Right.
So yeah, there's definitely that, the conceptual nature of this collection, I think, was really there, and that's what the judges loved.
For sure. So just like with Red Violet, they ask each individual who they think should win. Rick. Rick is just taking losses on all of these things. Because he just again. And just making it look like a huge asshole.
Yeah.
Rick votes for himself.
Right.
Which, I mean,
he's like, I thought that coat was really
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, good for him for really liking what he did. He just said, I really thought that what I did was great. So
yeah.
I think I should win. Sure. Laurence is a little more humble, and she votes for Robbery. And then Robbery turns around and picks Rick because he, as he said, nobody voted for him yet, but
I did.
Rick voted for himself.
Yeah, it was funny. I think they had a colloquial vibe about
right.
it. And they're just like, you know, this turned out really great. And it was a true team effort. Because a lot of it was like they kind of had to push Robbery a little bit
yeah.
to make that skirt what it was.
Right.
So it didn't really matter, I guess.
Right. So we get to the critiques here.
The
close-up critiques. Just kind of getting the details of the each individual look. And as they're kind of picking through Red Violet's look, Tim comes to the aid of Cornelius here and says that there were two mean girls on this group, and one of them really took the charge, and that was Aaron. So he's defending Cornelius, but at the same time, Kelly says that he had the worst look of the whole group.
Right, and Heidi did say during the judging, like, why didn't you speak up more? And that happens a lot, and we've talked about that earlier, you know, about the dynamics there. But yeah, Tim's definitely on the side of Cornelius here.
Right. They did say that Aaron's coat may have been the best thing about the entire runway show.
Mm-hmm.
That Aaron's coat may have been the top look overall.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly also says something. For some reason, I don't like Kelly Osborne. Something about her, I'm just kind of like,
I'm
over you.
Yeah.
Like, you're... I think it just had to do with the Osbournes in general. It was just like that TV show where it was just like, so we're just going to give people TV shows that yell at each other
mm-hmm.
all the time.
That was the height of just weird reality shows.
It really was. But she says something about Dexter that just hit the nail on the head for me. she says he doesn't know Punk. He's like,
totally.
He says he's so Punk, and he puts out this Punk jacket. So why do you make a kimono jacket? And I was just like, that's what Dexter is to me. He's just a guy that says stuff because he thinks it makes him seem smart. He thinks it makes him seem cool when really he's just full of garbage.
And you alluded to this, I think, even in the very first episode where you're like, are you kidding? This kid went to Berkeley and
he studied herpetology.
Yeah.
That didn't work out for him. So now he's in fashion. And the clothes he wears, you can tell, cost $200 a piece.
Right.
And he's going for these really weird looks, but you know he's spending a ton of money on it. He's just fake.
Yeah.
Awful.
He wants the allure and he wants to create like a punk look because he wants people to see that he's punk. He has a nose ring. He has that Chili Bowl cut. Like
right. He's
got these tattoos. And it's like, I think he's more hipster than anything else, quite honestly.
Right.
But that is not a story that's worth telling anymore. I mean, that can be debated, but it just doesn't come off. And Kelly Osbourne's like, he just doesn't know what he's doing. So I really think that all three people could be on the chopping block from Red for varying reasons.
Right. And just very briefly on Hues of Blue, everybody really liked every single piece for this. The overall consensus was that this collection was very, very chic, but comfortable at the same time,
mm-hmm.
which I think it is very, very obvious in the pieces that they put together.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to it, it seems like a lot of the focus in the judges' discussions is about who's going to go home more so than who the winner's going to be.
Right.
So I think it's Nina that's like, well, who do we want to see more of? And that's typically not the question that's asked in these judging, you know, the show's catchphrase is one day you're in, the next day you're out. So that doesn't usually equate. But I think here when there's just a lot of issues on a team, there's maybe some personality problems, there's some design and construction problems, it does maybe come down to like who you're just most interested in seeing.
Right. For the winner, the judges come down to Rick and Robbery,
mm-hmm.
and Robbery is named winner. So finally, after a couple of rough weeks there, Robbery kind of gets out of his shell, gets the recognition that he deserves, and is named the winner.
Mm-hmm.
So the real drama is coming down to who is going home. And it's pretty obvious who it's between. Like we said earlier, the judges thought that Aaron's coat was the best look overall, so there was no way she was going to go home. This is coming down to Cornelius and Dexter. And the judges decide Cornelius is going home.
Not surprised by that decision.
I cannot say that I am either.
I did guess Dexter, but I wasn't going to be surprised either
way. I think Dexter has put together a better body of work throughout the entire season. And Cornelius has just kind of been in the middle.
He's kind of struggled in a lot of challenges. There's only one challenge that he succeeded on, and it was the Blacklight Challenge.
Right. So we get into the back, into the break room. Everybody's saying their goodbyes. And there is definitely a lot of tension between Dexter and Cornelius still.
Yeah, Dexter and Aaron do not hug Cornelius.
So Cornelius sits down and is just kind of chatting with everybody, and in comes Tim Gunn.
By God, that's Tim Gunn's music!
And we have the Tim Gunn save of the season.
This is garbage, people. Complete garbage. This is the worst iteration of producer heavy-handedness that I have seen in a long time. And let me just go through why. First of all, Cornelius did not ever have a win. He didn't even have a win in a team challenge. This is complete BS. He didn't even save Alex, of all people. And we're going to save Cornelius. Do you remember what he made last week? He made Destiny Child music video, 90s hip hop garbage. Not even that great of a fit. He did not show anything in this challenge that warrants being saved. He made a nice jacket. He made a nice skirt. Many people, 8 other people, made nice things. It gets me so much. They are only keeping him on because it is drama between Dexter, Aaron, Cornelius, and probably by default, Natalia and Jenny now. So even more heightened is the realization that we have a group of adults and a group of children still competing in this competition. It drives me nuts that this whole thing, this whole episode, was so producer engineered. It is sickening. This man, he may be very talented. He does not deserve the Tim Gunn save because we still have 8 people to go. So what happens if now Laurence has an unfortunate challenge? And you're going to tell me she's not going to make it to New York Fashion Week? So complete BS. I was so furious. Even more furious, probably in just a different vein than the Alex episode.
I would like it on the record that a good 20 minutes before the end of the show, I turned to Antoinette and said, Cornelius is going down between Dexter and Cornelius. Cornelius is going home. Tim Gunn's coming in with the Tim Gunn save.
And I told him he was crazy.
Because of the circumstances of the elimination. Is Cornelius more deserving than, say, Alex to go home? No.
He's more deserving to go home, yes.
Yes. Is he more deserving of the save than Alex?
No.
No. I will admit that. But you said yourself after that episode that it was probably too early to use the save.
Agreed.
Had Alex been eliminated, say, 2 weeks later or this week, is he going to get the save? Most definitely. But under the circumstances of this challenge where Cornelius got completely railroaded by 2 of his teammates.
I don't think he got completely railroaded.
Yes, he did.
He couldn't speak up for himself.
He did, though. He did it mood when he was just like saying, we should probably get some more color here.
He says it in his lady shade way. We should probably get some more color. He's not saying it in a constructive team
okay,
atmosphere.
Whatever. But under the circumstances of this challenge, I was not surprised that Tim Gunn saved him because Tim pointed it out that 2 people on this team were terrible teammates. So why should Cornelius have to suffer because of that?
But I'm sorry, this is a design challenge show. Do I think people should be bullied? No, I'm very anti-bullying. But Cornelius is not absolved of bullying in this entire season. He's a bully himself. And I'm not saying tit for tat by any means. I'm just saying that the reasoning behind this and the reasoning for the save is just utter nonsense. That's not what it's meant for. And the fact that Tim gave in to this is shocking to me, and that he felt such a visceral reaction. The previous Tim Gunn saves, nothing like this. They are worthy designers. They are challenges in which it wasn't a terrible design. This happened to not be. It is just like this one. Everyone had great design
last year with Edmund right before New York Fashion Week.
Right,
Edmund. Like all 4 looks, Ashley, all 4 looks were great. None of them were terrible.
Right.
So Edmund earned his way. Yes. And if Cornelius goes home next week because he has a terrible design again, then yeah, this save is probably wasted. But under the circumstances of this challenge, I think this is completely fair.
I just think that it is a highly engineered outcome in order to garner more drama and more tension between the designers so that there is a storyline to go off of ancillary to whatever challenge happens to be next. I swear to God, if he makes it to New York Fashion Week, I'm going to lose my mind because...
Then he deserved it. No. Then that validates this.
What is he showing? I mean, we still got a while to go.
We do. But if he makes it all the way to New York Fashion Week, then that validates this. One thing to add. After Tim Gunn saves Cornelius and everybody is celebrating, like, Aaron comes up to him and hugs him. He's like, oh, I'm so glad that you're not going home. Bubba's like, fake. Fake.
See, I missed that part because I walked away in disgust.
She's not nearly as bad as Dexter.
Right.
But she's
awful. She is fake. And I do think that a lot of what happened at the beginning of the season was kind of an anomaly. I'm not saying that she's not a good designer, but she has really fallen really fallen off what she started with.
Right.
Tell me your power rankings.
My power rankings, as it turns out, are the exact same as last week.
Oh.
So Ma Jing is still number 5 for me. I thought of the looks that were on his team. His was probably the best.
Mm-hmm.
Probably better than Dexter's. And definitely better than Cornelius's.
I guess I will do Natalia based upon she's had a good couple weeks.
She won last week.
She did win last week. And I will put the caveat. I am completely bringing in all my feelings, and this is not objective at all. This is the most objective power ranking you could ever have.
That's what it's supposed to be.
So Natalia is my number 5. My number 4 is Jenny. I don't know if I like Jenny or not. It doesn't matter if I like her or not. She has some good designs. I think what she did with that sweater was kind of cool. Do I think she's stealing a lot of Aaron's embroidery? Yes. But Jenny.
My number 4 is still Robbery. He gained a little bit on the number 3 spot this week with the win,
mm-hmm.
Which I'll may as well just go into it. My number 3 is Rick. I don't think Rick had a great look this week as well, so he doesn't really lose any points here. Robbery just kind of moves up a little bit. The gap between 4 and 5 for me is pretty large.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rick is my number 3.
My number 3 is Robbery. This is where I start getting into the adults of my list. My number 3 is Robbery. I think that he still has a little bit of a hole to climb out from his skid when he started kind of getting some judging spotlight. But he did turn it around this week with a win, and hopefully can kind of keep that momentum going. My number 2 is Rick. Rick can sometimes be up and down, but lately he's been more on point. He's had some good looks. It's when he tries to go almost like costumey. It's when he can go off the rails.
Sure. My number 2 is Erin. She righted the ship this week with a really, really good coat and kind of fended off Rick, because Rick last week was really pushing, in my rankings at least, really pushing to take that number 2 spot mm-hmm. from her.
I don't think Aaron deserves to be in the top 5 anymore.
Why not?
She lost her ability to edit her designs and to take a concept from her head to full execution.
Right.
And I think it started with her friendship with Dexter. He's a bad influence.
There you go. This coat, the coat this week was toned down, minus those pockets, toned down.
Pockets. No, it was a really good coat. It seems like when she does coats, her and Natalia, it seems like when she does coats, and coats are hard to make, but then again, they're somewhat simple. You know, if you think about it, there's a lot of detail and a lot of sewing, but as long as you get that body of that tailored, you know, so it's kind of a catch-22.
Sure.
Is your number one?
Laurence is number one.
Me too.
Still number one. Didn't even hurt herself this week by not winning and not even being in consideration of winning.
Right.
That coat was great. Those pants that she made were great. Her look overall, again, was the most translatable of the three. Mm-hmm. Like,
I really want those pants.
The model that she, like, I think that, and this, I think, goes back to her modeling career. Like, she knows what looks good on a model.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have, I legitimately think when she was making that outfit, she was picturing herself in it, because I could picture Laurence wearing that. Yeah. That was her style. Like even just something as simple as like that half tuck that she had,
mm-hmm.
the model have. Like, that's something Laurence would do, and would wear that jacket, would wear those pants, and would look just as good in that outfit.
I definitely agree with that. She is thoughtful. She is mature. She knows how to tailor and sew. It's been a while since she's done a dress. So I'm curious. I don't recall seeing the previews for next week.
They kind of did this promotional thing that a lot of networks do, where they'll put the preview for the next week in the first commercial break of the following show. So the following show is like that fashion startup or whatever it is, mm-hmm. by Project Runway. And so they did the first 15 minutes of the show, and then in the first commercial break, they did the preview for next week.
Oh.
The next week is all the contestants' mothers come in, and they have to design outfits for their mothers. Mm-hmm. So I think that will be very nice.
Yeah, they've done that before several seasons back now, but that could be an interesting one. You are getting into out of the model territory a little bit. But yeah, it'll be curious what they have to design, because a lot of people, like I said, have not done dresses in a while. Maybe won't be able to do a jacket. So that could force people out of their comfort zone.
Right. Like, what are Aaron and Dexter going to make for their moms?
Who knows? And I'm curious if having the mothers around will cure some of this unnecessary drama that the producers are still thrusting upon us.
So,
Curtis is shaking his head.
So next week, we'll see if conspiracy theory Antoinette shows up again, or if other Antoinette returns to the show. Other than that, final thoughts? Anything?
No, I've given a lot of thoughts.
Yes, you really did today. But thanks for listening, guys, and we will see you next week.
See ya.
Auf Wiedersehen.